Thank you for joining us today. At Cross Church, we believe people need Jesus, people need each other, people change the world, and people leave legacies. Our desire is for you to understand, accept, and grow in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening. If you would like to know more about Cross Church, please visit crosschurch.com.
If you got a Bible, let's grab it. Isaiah chapter 64 is where we're going to be, right around the middle of your Bible. And today we begin a new series called Desperate for God to Move. This is maybe a little bit different than what we did all summer, going verse by verse through the Sermon on the Mount. This is more of a look at the entire book of the Bible, both men and women who got desperate for God to move in their lives through things like uncertainty and when people needed healing and all kinds of other things, when walking through betrayal, things like that. So we're going to spend the next 8 weeks together walking through that. When you came in today, we handed you one of these booklets. We've done these sermon booklets a few times where it gives you the passage and notes. I would encourage you every week, do what I did this morning. I had mine at home, and I just folded in my Bible, and I brought both here today. Would encourage you to do that. You can take notes and keep all your notes in the same place. This one's a little bit different. The first 2 weeks or so of my sabbatical, I wanted to write something, and so I thought, well, I'll write something for the church. And so there's a few pages that go along with each week. You can do that before you come to church, or you can do that after you leave church. But this reinforces some of the things we're teaching. It also gives you some new content as well. And I hope you will find that as a joy and just a help throughout these 8 weeks together. Today, we're going to talk about being desperate for the presence of God. Let me know if you think that this is right, okay? Do you think it matters when the people of God get on their face before the Lord about their church? Yes or no? I think that matters, right? That it matters how we come into church. It matters what we believe about the church. Matters what we really do and how we handle this group project known as the local church. But I also think this really matters in your own life. And you'll see that. All we're going to cover today is one verse of scripture. In fact, it's a short verse. And I think it's power-packed with stuff from the prophet Isaiah and a prayer that he prayed to God in Isaiah 64, verse 1. Here's what it says. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence. That's the verse. Okay, now let's read it again a little slower. I think there's power when you read the word of God slowly. If you got a pen, I would underline this in your Bible or in your booklet. If you got some makeup, just something to mark it with, okay? Oh, that you, I would underline the word you there. Would rend, circle the word rend or underline it, mark that in some way. Rend the heavens and come down that the mountains might quake at your presence. Underline the word presence right there, okay? If there was ever a verse for the fall, it is this verse right here for your own life and also for the life of this church. And I don't know if there's certain things in your life that you feel like you always do. Maybe you feel like you're always being a chauffeur for your kids to this and that. Or maybe you feel like, Nick, I'm always at the office and I'm constantly staying late at the office. Or maybe you're a student and you say, well, Nick, I'm always at practice. I'm always at cheer practice or football or band practice, whatever it may be. Something you always feel like you do. Well, in my life as a pastor, I feel like all I do is prepare. I prepare, I prepare, I prepare, I prepare, I prepare. Then I deliver. Then I prepare. And I'm just in a constant state of preparation. And believe it or not, sometimes I get stuck, guys. I don't know what to say to you. Okay, working through a passage, not sure exactly what it means, and I got to dig deeper, and often do two things in that moment. I stop and ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit, which I think, you know, is the most important thing, and God just seems to begin to speak right away. And then I remind myself of this simple principle. If you teach in any realm in this church, this is a great principle for you to remember. Just say what the Bible says. Just say what the Bible says. People often come up to me out of the first-time guest area, and they say, Pastor Nick, that was a great message today. And I often say things like this, like, man, it's just cheating. You just open the word and say what it says. Like, that's really as simple as it is. And that's as simple as we're going to make it today. We're going to just walk through this passage phrase by phrase. We're going to kind of do this in a steady manner. So keep up with me and let's roll together. Okay. Here's how Isaiah begins the prayer. He says, oh, that you. In other words, it's a God focus right away. Notice what the Bible does not say here. Isaiah didn't say, oh, that the programs of the church, or oh, that worship songs, or oh, that my being a good person. None of those things. He calls us to a God-centered mentality. And I want to encourage you today that as we enter into the fall together, for you individually and for your family, and for us as a church family, let's get to a God-centered focus this fall. You may say, well, Nick, that's kind of ridiculous. We're a church. Obviously, we are. And I believe that. But here's what I've found. We love people. We care about people. We want to help people. And so often, we let the needs of the people drive wherever we go. That could be a message from stage. That could be a message in your small group. That could be songs we choose. That could be anything that appeal more to the human than it does to the Lord. And so all of us have a lot of horizontal problems. You got a lot of horizontal problems in your life? I got some horizontal problems in my life. And what we've got to remember is this, there really are only vertical answers to these horizontal problems. And so I want to just call us back to a God-centered mentality like the prophet here. Lord, oh that you, and what are we asking God to do? Oh that you would rend the heavens. Now, I told you to circle the word rend because that's not a word that we often use, and I think it's an interesting one to take a deep dive on, okay? It refers to tearing open like a piece of cloth. Now, when I was a kid, I used to watch wrestling, okay? It was not until later that I figured out it was all fake, okay? But if you can remember wrestlers, they would often have a shirt that they would rip open before the people, and they'd start flexing, and they'd show their muscles. That's kind of like the word rend here, okay? Oh, that you would tear open the garment is what he is ultimately saying here. One commentary describes it this way, that this passage is used as a metaphor taken from men who, when they would resolutely help a person in distress, break through every opposition and every obstacle. What that means is, let's make this practical. Let's say you're at the Amp tonight at a concert, or you're at the Promenade, or you're at Walmart, and somebody snatches your kid. You can see them kidnapping your child, running away. You as a parent will do everything in your power to bust through a group of people. You will break through a box of Twinkies, grab one on the way for later, and you will do whatever it takes, right, to get to your child. That's the word here. I have a pastor friend who defines it this way. He says it means to tear open the heavens as quickly as possible in whatever manner it takes, without regard for how it tears or where it tears. Interestingly, all of those definitions suggest asking God to move with reckless abandon. Lord, no matter what it takes, we want you to break open heaven. Lord, no matter how it affects my life, I want your presence in my life. No matter what it takes for me to get to be where I need to be with you, God, tear open the heavens right now. That's what the passage is saying here. This fall as a church, we need God to rend the heavens. Anybody agree with me? Like, we need a God to do some things in heaven that only he can do and only he can be responsible for. We are asking him to rend the heavens, and what's the next phrase? And to come down, to come down. Now, we spend a lot of time, a lot of energy, even a lot of money as a church trying to compel people in. Like to come to our church, to be involved in the ministry of Cross Church. In fact, some of you probably are new today and you got a flyer at your house or you saw something on social media, you got invited by a friend, and we're so thrilled that you are here. Like that's a worthy pursuit, us going after people. We're a reaching church, okay? But here's what I would tell us. It is a worthless pursuit if it comes in the place of trying to get God to come down. In other words, more than wanting people to come in, we need God to come down. Anybody resonating with the word of God today? Like this is where God is calling us individually and as a church. In other words, the most important people that come to church, the most important person that comes to church is not you. I'm sorry. And by the way, I would say the most important person that comes to church is not me or any other preacher that stands up here. The most important person in the church that we need to be concerned about whether they are showing up or not is Jesus Christ himself every Sunday. Amen. Like the presence of God is the Lord showing up. We need the manifest presence of God. The Bible speaks about the presence of God in two primary ways. The first one is omnipresence. You probably heard that phrase before, that God is omnipresent. It means that God is here. And by the way, God was here yesterday when you weren't here. And God's in China today, and he's in Montana today. He's in Africa today. He's in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Well, maybe he's not in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Anytime I can dig Alabama, I'm in, okay? It means that God is everywhere. Only God can be omnipresent. But there's a second way the Bible speaks about presence of God. It is the manifest presence of God. This is when God is telling us, hey, I'm here. I have shown up on the stage today. Have you ever been sitting in a church service? Maybe like just what we experienced the first half of the service right there. When you're like, man, this is different, y'all. Like there is something unique, something different. I feel like the Lord is here. What is that? Manifest presence. Have you ever been in a personal situation in your life? Maybe you're there right now where you are so at rock bottom and yet you have an unmistakable peace that God is with you. And you think to yourself, I don't understand what this is. Well, let me tell you this. It is a who, and his name is Jesus, and he meets us at places of rock bottom with his manifest presence. And we need the manifest presence of God in our lives. But you say, well, Nick, how do we make the manifest presence of God come down? Here's what I'd say. We can't. I can't tell God, oh, we really want you to move tomorrow, and it's automatic. It's more of a positioning yourself to experience the manifest presence of God. So a pastor in the Metroplex by the name of Matt Chandler, I listened to a sermon of his probably 5 years ago, and he titled the message, Under the Faucet. And it was all about the manifest presence of God, and he described, he said, I have scanned the whole Bible, and I've studied the whole Bible, and I've found that the manifest presence of God is attracted to two things in your life. What are those two things? He says it this way. He says, number one, personal holiness. In other words, living in righteousness as a believer, living in purity and holiness as a believer. And so what a great day as we kick off the new fall semester here together, today on kickoff Sunday. What a great reminder to us. Man, let's be holy men and women of God. Let's be holy teenagers and holy kids who are in this room today. Let's run hard after the Lord Jesus. If you got sin to confess, man, today's a great day to do that. Every time that I ever confess a sin to the Lord, here's what I get. Okay, welcome home. Come on. Welcome home. Come back. And that same thing can happen in your own life today. So personal holiness. Here's a second one. I think this one is surprising for most of you in this room. He says, fervent, passionate worship in song attracts the manifest presence of God. What a challenge to us from Isaiah 64. If we want to see God tear open the heavens, come down that the mountains might quake at his presence, we need to come to worship ready to worship. In other words, we don't show up late thinking, Nick doesn't get up there to about 25 minutes up, so we're good. It's okay. We got time to run by Starbucks and we just drive through. Or maybe you view the first half of the worship service as just like, okay, come on now. I'm here for the word. Let's get to the word. And here's what's happened. You have come to church to receive. And that's great. I hope you do receive. There's an element of that in church, but it's not the only element. We come also to give worship to the Lord. Church is both giving and receiving. We're going to bless the Lord as he blesses us today, if that makes sense. And so I want to encourage you, as it comes to worship, as it comes to the singing of the worship of God, don't view that as just wasted space in the worship center. In fact, come ready to worship. You say, Nick, I can't sing. Well, that's roughly 75% of the people out there in the crowd, okay? And it's turned up loud enough where nobody can hear you, okay? You know, one of the reasons that I control my microphone back here is because I don't want all the people in the sound room hearing me sing, okay? So I just click it off. And let's roll, okay? Just bring your worship to the Lord. Never forget this simple reminder. God goes where he is wanted. He goes where he's wanted. So let me ask you a question. Is he wanted in your own life? Is he wanted? Is he wanted in your family? Is he wanted in this church? We are a reaching church. We're an evangelistic church, and that's a very important thing. We're passionate about seeing lost people find Jesus. If you're here today and you're hearing us speak about Jesus and you're like, Nick, I've never come into a relationship with Christ, but I have some kind of strange thing happening in my heart as you talk about Jesus. Here's what I tell you. The presence of God can draw you to Jesus Christ today. And if you'll surrender your life to him, he'll change everything about your life. And we'll give you an opportunity to do that here in just a few moments here. So we do that every single week. We put on programs, we put on services, we put on events where we're teaching the gospel, preaching the gospel, sharing the gospel with lost people, lost people, lost people, lost people. And that's an amazing thing, okay? So y'all mind if we do some group participation? Okay, answer out loud. Okay, let me ask you these questions. Do you want our church to reach people with the gospel of Jesus? Yes or no?
Yes.
It's a good resounding yes. Let me ask you a second question. Do you want our church to grow? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, that's pretty overwhelming, if not all the way, okay? Can I tell you the greatest way that we can reach people and see our church grow? You know what it is? Let me throw this up here on the screen for you, okay? The greatest thing we can do to reach people and to see our church grow is to be a church where the presence of God dwells. People will come from all over Northwest Arkansas to a place where they sense the presence and the power of God is in that place. The greatest statement that somebody could make today is not, man, the worship was amazing, or the sermon was as decent. The greatest thing that somebody could walk away with today is to say, man, I don't know what that was. And people who don't know Christ too often step into a setting like this and they experience the presence of God. That's what they leave saying, I don't know what that is. I don't know what's in the water there. It's not a what, it's a who, and his name is Jesus. And he's here to change your life just like he has changed so many of our lives in this place, okay? In May of 2021, we were still coming out of COVID land, you know, just kind of rebuilding as a church. And many of you were here the day on May 2nd when Robbie Gallaty came and preached. And Robbie Gallaty preached at the 8 a.m. at Fayetteville, preached at the 9:30 at Springdale, preached at 11, and we simulcasted everywhere that day. And when I walked in those back doors, getting here from the Springdale service, the service was still going on here because so many people were getting baptized. I mean, like revival, like I'd never seen it in my life. And Robbie is the pastor at Long Hollow Baptist Church in Nashville, and they've seen just an amazing move of God over the last several years. I give you that to share with you this story. In April, I received a text from a guy named Chris, who Chris and his wife Jenna were early members at the Fayetteville campus, and then they ended up moving away. They moved to Arizona, and I got a random kind of out of the box text from Chris we hadn't spoken in years, and he said this about their time in Arizona. He said, we had won by the world standard in Scottsdale. I was an executive with a national builder and had everything we could have wanted, but we were in a literal desert. We had a longtime friend share a sermon from Long Hollow Baptist Church in Nashville. That's Robbie's church. He said, we watched it for 9 months every Sunday and felt like this is where God called us. So I walked away from everything. We put the house on the market and we were Tennessee residents in 31 days. It truly has been the best decision we have ever made. People will flock to a place where the presence of God resides. They will literally move across the country to be at a place where they sense the power and the presence of God is in that place. Here's my challenge to us as a church. Let's be that church. Let's get desperate for God to move on our behalf. In the Old Testament, there's a small book by the name of Haggai, or Haggai, depending on how you pronounce it. It's one of those that you don't ever read. Okay, it's confusing, prophetic language. It's a small book. But let me remind you what was going on at that time. At 597 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar has come and he has besieged Jerusalem. And he has taken a group of the Jews back to Babylon. He's come back to Jerusalem. He's destroyed the temple of God. And then he ends up taking all of the Jews, all the Israelites, back to Babylon to what was known as the Babylonian exile. Okay, 70 years the people of God would spend in a foreign land until God moved and they were released and they go back to the land of Israel. That's where Haggai comes into play. Haggai writes about 18 years after they have returned to the land of Israel. Got that? Gone 70, back 18. And he's an older man, and so he remembers what the temple of God was like in Jerusalem before it was destroyed. He writes this. He says, who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it as nothing in your eyes? In other words, he said, hey, anybody remember what the temple of God was like in its heyday? It is not like that any longer. And he just is grieving the mindset here. And he encourages the people of God to no longer be consumed with their own interest, but to focus on the rebuilding of the house of God. In other words, in very practical language, he was saying this, stop being consumed with yourselves and stop being consumed with the things of this world and get back to the things of God. Like, what a great reminder for us as the people of God today. To stop a focus on ourselves, to stop being consumed with all the stuff of life, and to focus again on the things of the Lord. And the rebuilding of the temple was to be on the forefront of their minds. God gives this prophet Haggai a word for the people, a promise for the people. And here's what it was. He says, the latter glory of this house, the temple, shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts, and in this place I will give, what's the word? Yell it out. I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. Now there's a present reality, a future reality. I don't have time to get into all that. Here's what I would say. What this means is that in 520 BC, when this was going on, these people were doing something that mattered for eternity, that in this place, at the temple, and in our context, in the church, God says, I will give peace. May that be said of Pinnacle Hills, that every single Sunday and every single Tuesday when Bible studies are going, and every Wednesday when we've got all kinds of next gen things going, that every single day of the week, there are people coming into this place and they see it as a place where they find peace with God and peace in their lives. We're at an old church, if you didn't know that. We are almost 154 years old. In 1895, there were about 200 members of the church, and the church needed a new building, okay? And they were based in Springdale. This was roughly 25 years or so after the church had begun. And they put a committee together to go find and purchase a lot. And they did that. They found a lot on Holcomb Street, which is over near downtown Springdale. And they purchased it for $400. A little jealous of that era of church, okay? $400. Building committee was named. They started building. 4.5 years later, the church moved into this brand new building on Holcomb Street. We've got a picture of that. This was our pastor at the time, a guy by the name of A.H. Autry. Okay? A.H. Autry. Think about this moment in the church on this opening Sunday in 1899. A.H. Autry stood before a group of people who had prayed for this moment. They had sacrificed for this moment. They had been on mission together in the city of Springdale for this moment. And it all led up to this moment. And you know what text he used for that morning? Haggai 2:9. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. Chris, if you could bring that Bible to me. This is the Bible used at that service in 1899. It's fascinating. It stayed on the pulpit. You can imagine, this is not one you really carry to church, right? I don't have one of those things that hold that. Straps would break. But this just laid on the pulpit for a number of years. And this is what they would preach from. And got put in a basement, and in the 50s, somebody rebound it. And it's an amazing piece of church history. We're actually going to display this in the new space upstairs by our small group rooms in the seminary. So it's going to be an incredible thing you can go by and see. But I thought this was appropriate just because what a God that he would have our own church in 1899 preaching on the same passage that we would teach on today. And we've got a rich history. I'm looking around the room and I see many people who have given their lives to build this place, literally and physically. And they have served and served and served and served and served. And we've got such a rich history as a church. And, you know, we've been in construction mode a little bit. We've been in construction mode down at Fayetteville. All that's pretty much wrapped up. We've been in construction mode all summer at Springdale. That opened up today. We are literally just a few weeks away from opening a brand new student building on the bottom, and on top it's small group space. That will also be where the seminary meets. I was in it yesterday. It looks unbelievable, y'all. Okay, like it's almost there. And so praise God for that. But that's a worthy task. Okay, like buildings are buildings. And you know, like the C3 building down at our Fayetteville campus, I was in there on Wednesday night. Over 500 freshmen joined us for an opening service. Had three people give their lives to Christ. Just amazing, yeah? It's an important thing, what we did at Springdale today. It's a great thing what we're doing over here, providing space for our students and small groups and seminary. All that matters. It's important. But I just want to remind us today, just buildings. They do nothing to bring the presence of God. And without the presence of God, C3 is just a building down there. Without the presence of God in the Springdale room or in this room, we're hopeless. Without the presence of God filling that space down there, Micah, wherever you are, for students, and upstairs for adults, without the presence of God, man, it's just a structure. And so I think it's appropriate for the book of Isaiah today, as we enter into a journey of 8 weeks together, just to call us to desperation for God to move. There are some things that we cannot do in this church. We can prime the pump. We can try to do all the effort that we can. We can try to steward resources well. We can try to share the gospel a lot. We can do all these things. But without the Spirit of God falling in this place, we're hopeless. And this building, as this room right here, as amazing as it is, man, I was in here Friday. Wasn't anybody in here? And certainly no manifest presence of God in this place. But when the presence of God fills a room, people start meeting Jesus. Christians start getting right with God and with one another. And so I don't know any other way for us to begin the fall together than just to ask for you to join me in getting desperate for the presence of God in our church. Of us get desperate for God to move in the life of this place together. I want us to bow our head and close our eyes today. If you're here today and you've never met Christ, maybe you're here and you're thinking to yourself, you know what, Nick, I think you're speaking directly to me when you speak about Jesus. Then I want to encourage you in just a moment. We're going to give you an opportunity to meet Christ. I'm going to invite all of our staff team to make their way to the front of each aisle right now. You say, Nick, what are these people coming forward for? Well, they're here for you. That if you're here and you would say, Nick, I know that I need to meet Christ, like that's my step today, what do I do? In just a moment, we're gonna sing a final song. We're gonna sing that same song again, Fall Like Rain. As soon as we sing that, I'm gonna ask you just to step out of the aisle that you're in. You're not gonna bother people. They're gonna be thrilled for you. And I'm gonna ask you to make your way to one of these men or women on our team, and all you gotta say is this, I need to give my life to Christ, and we will help you do that today. I hope you'll give your life to Christ today. This message really is an overarching message for the church. It's a message for those of us who call this place home. And I'm gonna call the people in the church, like our church members, our regular church attenders, like people who you consider this place home. And I'm gonna ask you, beginning right now in this moment, let's get desperate for God to move. I'm gonna ask you to just flood this altar and just get on your face for the Lord. Lord, move in this place. Lord, move in the ministry in which I serve. God, move in my own family. How many parents need to grab your kids and bring them to the altar? You're in the midst of a situation in your family that you need the manifest presence of God to overwhelm you. However it is that God wants to lead you, I'm just gonna encourage you, let's get desperate for God to move right now as we wrap up our service. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the presence of God, the gift that it is to us. Lord, I pray that the presence of God would lead people to peace with God today. And I pray that it would lead us to desperation before you. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
If you have questions about what you have heard or would like more information about your relationship with Jesus, please email us at info@crosschurch.com or visit our website at crosschurch.com. At Cross Church, our mission is to reach Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world for Jesus Christ.